world.
Go in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, as we'll see. So maybe every non-Jew should be coming to shul on Rosh Hashanah and asking and doing part of a tshuva and asking for forgiveness and reconnecting and doing all the things that we do over the course of Rosh Hashanah. So let's see where that takes us. So the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Ba'arba prakim ha'olam nidon, that there's four times of the year when the world is judged. B'pesach al ha'tfua, b'atzeres al peiros ha'ilon, b'rosh hashan, b'atzeres al peiros ha'ilon, that on Pesach is judged for wheat, and on atzeres on Shavuos on the fruit of the tree. And then b'rosh hashanah kol bay olam overin lefanav kivnei marum. So that language might seem familiar, that everybody in the world passes in front of Hashem like sheep in front of the shepherd. And it quotes a pasuk to that effect. So what does that sound like? It sounds like everybody is being judged. And if everybody is being judged, it seems that everybody should be attempting to do teshuva. So is that true? It seems like it is true. Is there a distinction then between the way that we're judged and perhaps the way the non-Jews are judged? So there is a pasuk, which is, I don't know, one of the themes, if I would give you, what's the pasuk of Yom Kippur? It's Ki Vayom HaZeh Yechaper Aleichem, V'Tayar Eschem Mikol Chatosichem, as we say many times. This is probably the theme of Rosh Hashanah. Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chageinu, ki chok li Yisrael hu mishpat lo hayakov. Right, it's a pasuk that we say right before the first Shmona Esrei of the year. Right, we say this pasuk, sound the shofar on Rosh Chodesh, on the appointed time for the days of the festival. There's a whole thing about b'kesel yom chageinu, not our topic tonight. Ki chok li Yisrael hu mishpat lo hayakov. That it is a rule for Israel, and mishpat, and then a judgment l'elokei Yaakov, for the God of Yaakov. So if I were to ask you, if we were going to use the terminology of the God of Yaakov, who would I say that, is that, am I talking about a universal God, or am I talking about a unique God to the Jewish people? I mean, obviously it's the same God, but am I talking about a universal concept, or am I talking about a unique concept? So our first reaction would be, well, Yaakov is kind of, you know, Jewish, like only Jewish, right? It was called the Abraham Accords. It wasn't called the Jacob Accords, right? Because Jacob is our father, right? So Elokei Yaakov should be for us. So the Gemara seems to, like, totally ignore that possibility. So the third source down, where we learn, Tanu Rabbanan, that we have a teaching, Ki Chok Li Yisrael Mishpat Elokei Yaakov, that quotes that pasuk, Melamid She'ein Beisin Shamala Nichnasin Ledin, Elein Kein Kitshu Beisin Shamata Sachodesh. This is actually the first pshat, that it teaches us that it's a Chok Li Yisrael, that it's our that teaches us that the Beis Din Shamala, that Hashem cannot, so to speak, bring together the court on high until we've sanctified the month, which is done by the Beis Din below. So that's pshat number one, that we have mishpat Chok Li Yisrael Hu, that it's a job for Yisrael to allow for the judgment of Elokei Yaakov. So that's interesting idea number one. But then more for our topic, it says Tanya Idach, we have another braisa. Ki chok li Yisrael hu, ein li ela li Yisrael. That I know that it's only that only teaches us so far that the Jewish people are being judged. L'umos ha'olam minayim, from where do I know that the nations of the world are judged as well? So tamud lomar mishpat l'Elokei Yaakov. So therefore we learn that it's a mishpat, it is a judgment for Elokei Yaakov. So the Gemara just assumes, it doesn't even make a point of it, we'll get to it in a second, but the Gemara just like assumes, yeah, Elokei Yaakov, obviously that refers to everybody. That's the assumption. So the Gemara just continues on and says, "Im kein matam lo mekichok di Yisrael." So if I know the entire world is being judged, so the entire world includes the Jewish people, so why do we need a special part of the pasuk to indicate that the Jewish people are being judged? So melamed sheYisrael nichlas intechil l'din. So that teaches us that the Jews go first. Kidur Rav Chista, Damar Rav Chista, Melech v'tzibur, Melech nichnas techil l'din. And when you have a king and a tzibur, the king gets to be judged first. Shemar b'yishpat avdu mishpat imo, that we judge the servant and then the rest of the nation, meaning those that are closer to the king get to be judged for the rest of the nation. What's the reason? So yibei seim alava rachar l'meka malka avrai, that's not appropriate to make the king stand outside. V'yibei seim mikamei delefush charon af, that the king is tried before, you know, apparently earlier in the day, the judge is going to have more patience, and he won't take all of his anger out. As the day goes on, he gets more and more angry. So it's a good job to get in ahead of time before HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets more angry, so to speak. Which is a little bit odd, because we've been talking about the last two nights in Shul, and this is relevant for people this year more than other years, that if a person is going to be davening alone, the halacha is that they should not be davening before the end of the third hour of the day. They shouldn't be davening, they shouldn't be blowing shofar before the end of the third hour of the day. So in a way we're saying, we should do it early in the day, but not that early in the day. Sorry, you should not be davening musaf. I make that clear. You can daven shachris, but you can't daven musaf before 3 hours into the day. But this Gemara is indicating that it's better to be done earlier on. So what do we see from here, though? We see that we're going to just take a glance that half the pasuk is referring to the judgment of the Jewish people, and then there is a judgment of the rest of the world, and they're distinct, right? The Gemara is pointing out that they're being judged separately and at distinct times, and presumably with perhaps different results, because the Jewish people will be judged at an earlier point when there's perhaps more patience, and the non-Jews will be judged at a later time. What is the concept, before we move on that, what is the concept, though, of calling the judgment of the characteristic of God judging the non-Jew is being labeled as the Elokei Yaakov? Why is the Elokei Yaakov associated with the judgment of the non-Jews, of Nachrim? So the Maharal over here explains, Dar Perushu Mishpat Elokei Yaakov, Vatzolomer Shehu Elokei Hakol, in that he is the God of everybody. Lofichach Hu Mishpat Gamkin Le'umos, and therefore he's also going to be a judgment for the other nations. So on the fifth line, V'im Tomar V'lama Im Kein Amar Mishpat Elokei Yaakov, D'mashma L'zera Yaakov Bilvad. So why is this, in this context, are we using the terminology of Elokei Yaakov? It sounds like it's the descendants of only Yaakov, not the rest of the world. V'zeh in kasha, that's not a question. Ki amr Elokei Yaakov lemar, ki mishpatu emes v'tzedek. That when we talk about Elokei Yaakov, we're talking about the judgment of truth and righteousness. That's the trait of Yaakov. V'lefichach maski Elokei Yaakov, shenemar titein emes liyakov chesela Avraham, that the terminology, the association, the midah associated with Yaakov is the midah of emes, is the midah of truth. So, perish anu mefarshim hu emes ki dvarecha emes, that it's going to be the true judgment, or God being judged as truth. Kafia perish anu mefarshim hu emes ki dvarecha emes, Rasul Omer, dinu v'gzeirasav, asher gozer ala aretz, zehu nikvar dvaro, that these gzeiras are going to be labeled by Hashem, and they're going to be referred to as emes. Now, we talked about a couple of... Now, emes is actually... The midas ha-emes, when it comes to judgment, is actually not the same as the midas ha-din when it comes to judgment, right? Emes and din, they sound very similar. So just a little bit, I think we talked about this in a pre-Ni'ila drasha a couple of years ago. But just to review, right? Emes sounds like, right? Sounds like absolute truth, right? And we're trying to avoid the midas ha-din. In fact, the terminology used to tell us why do we not daven musaf in the first 3 hours of the day? Because we want to. That's when the midas ha-din is rampant. So, wait a second. What's the difference between the midas ha-din and the midas ha-emes? So, and as because emes, right? Emes is actually one of the 13 attributes of mercy. One of the midas ha-rachmim is emes. Hashem, Hashem, t'rachum, v'chanu, rechum, v'chanu, 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 I'm sorry, Chesed VMS, right? It's on that list. It's in the middle there, right? MS is one of the 13 Midos. So how is it merciful to be MS? And I think the mushel that we gave, now coming back to me, I think I heard it from Moshe Weinberger, he suggests that that when one goes to a parent and asks for forgiveness, so what is the you know, and you say, well, you did something really wrong. On the other hand, I'm your parent. How can I really take out my wrath on you? On the other hand, you really did something wrong. So what is then the judgment when the parent has mercy on the child? So what is that called? That's the midah of emes, right? In truth, I'm the parent, right? In truth, I love you. In truth, we're connected. and therefore that still can be within the context of the Midah of truth, because there's truths beyond just the action that was done. But anyways, in this context, right, the Midah of Emes is being used to describe Hashem giving judgment on the entire world, and it's referred to as the Midel Ke Yaakov, because Yaakov represents the idea of truth. By the way, there's perhaps no better representation of truth being a little bit, malleable is the right term, but other factors coming into judging truth than perhaps Yaakov, right? Yaakov goes through his entire life in some ways, not necessarily being so truthful, having trouble with Laban, having trouble with who he's marrying, right? All these are issues that confront Yaakov, but Yaakov yet is still able to retain the title of the person who is telling the truth. Okay, is there a distinction? How then do we judge? Now we've established perhaps that there's two styles of judgment, that everybody is being judged. But there is different things between it seems like it's different between the Jewish people and the non-Jews. So on the I neglected to number them, but source number 5, the Ran, right? But next to the Maharal on the left of it is, it says there's the Ran on the Rif, and the Ran is going on an earlier Gemara. And in Gemara, in the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, there is a debate between Tanayim, and it's never like fully resolved. We never say, aha, oh, that must be the truth, as to when the world was created. Do we say Benisa Nivra Olam or Betishrei Nivra Olam? And the Gemara goes on and has this this discussion, this back and forth, where ultimately where they ask according to both, right? According to you that Nisan is the beginning of the year, then why do we say Yom Haras Olam and on Rosh Hashanah? And why do we have all the judgments on Rosh Hashanah? And we say according to you that says that Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei is the beginning of the year. So what do you do with Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim? Right, and that goes back and forth, and each side has to come up with answers to those approaches. But the question is asked of, well, if you're going to assume that pace, that the Nisan is the beginning of the year, why are you having the judgment day in the middle of the year? Why is the Rosh Hashanah that's associated with the beginning and the judgment for the duration of the year, why is that going to be in the month of Tishrei? So the Ran here explains, Amiyo Akasi Tamili. Right, this is the Ran's question. The Tenach leRebbe Eliezer, aval leRebbe Yeshua, the Amar deVenisa Nivra Olam, Akasi Hadra Kushin leDuchta, Lama Nidum Rosh Hashanah Yosir miBeshar Yamim. Right, if you're going to assume that Rosh Hashanah, so to speak, Rosh Hashanah is in the beginning of Nisan, Pesach time. Right, imagine that. Imagine having Rosh Hashanah followed by Pesach within 2 weeks of each other. Right, Purim. Right, you got all the Shana. Right, wow. All right. Anyways. If you're going to have Rosh Hashanah, why are we having Rosh Hashanah? Why are we being judged on Rosh Hashanah if the beginning of the year is Nisan? So, V'niru li, Sheratza Hamakom Lischos Es Yisrael. That Hashem wanted to give the Chusim to Bnei Yisrael, Bedinam, in their Dinim. V'ratza Ladun Es Yisrael, Bizman Shehukva Lekapara Ulesvicha. That Hashem wanted to do the judgment of Bnei Yisrael at a time when, which is set aside for kapara and for slicha. Why? So the fish is ratza kadosh baruch hu biyom hakipurim hukva yom slicha ledaros. That because Hashem forgave the Jewish people on Yom Kippur, it became a period of slicha for all generations. L'ficha gazar Hashem sheyehe adam nidom b'rosh Hashanah shesadikin geburim nechtvim nechtamim la'alto l'chaim uveinonim harei gzar din shalhem ino nechtam el ad yom kippurim sheyom haslicha v'chapara rei nasta lehem toras ma'akati shavo yifashir ma'aseim etc. v'yeshuvu al Hashem. Right? So Hashem wants to give this time because Yom Kippur is associated with a period of teshuvah. Hashem said, well, this would be a good time to do the whole tshuva process. So we have Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is going to be judged. And if you don't have a resolution of Rosh Hashanah, you'll have the period of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva to work things out. And that's great. But I noticed the terminology of the Ran, the second line, is Sheratza Hamakom Lischos Es Yisrael. That's specifically a Jewish merit, so to speak. Right? The Jewish people were saved during this time. The Jewish, and in fact, it wasn't just the Jewish people happened to be saved. It was in the merit of being a Jewish people, right? What were some of the arguments that Moshe Rabbeinu used in order to save the Jewish people? Was, you know, what are people going to say, right? That you neglected the Jewish people, right? It was an importance of the saving of the nationhood of Bnei Yisrael, right? Even Hashem said to Moshe, "I'll let you be on your own." Moshe said, "No, I'm saving the Jewish people." Right? So there is an association of this time of year with the tshuva specifically of the Jewish people. And not just with the tshuva of the Jewish people, but perhaps the idea of mercy, perhaps the idea of rachamim, of being placed specifically towards the Jewish people. And that brings us to perhaps another one of the famous psukim that are floating around come Rosh Hashanah time, and that is quoted in the Medrash, in the next Medrash that is quoted, Amar Rebbe Yoshia, Ksiv Ashrei Am Yodei Trua. That praiseworthy is the nation. Ahashrei Ha'am Yodei Trua. Right, praiseworthy is the nation that knows about Trua. So the Gemara, the Medrash continues on and says, B'chi'ein Umas Ha'olam Yodim Laharia. What, the Jewish people are the only ones that know how to blow a shofar? So the truth is, it might be the answer is yes, right? Try giving a shofar to a non-Jew and asking them to blow it. But, all right, be that as it may, right? I'm sure they could figure it out, right? The Jewish people are the only ones that know how to blow. Kama kronos yeshalhem, right? They got plenty of horns. Kama bukinos yeshalhem. Kama salpirgas yeshalhem. They have plenty of trumpets and they have plenty of some other blowing instrument, right? They know how to do that. So viamarta ashreya am yodei trua el shehein makirim laftos esporan betrua. Rather, the Jewish people are the ones who know how to entreat their Creator with truos. Lu omen mikisei adin. L'kisei rachamim, umismale aleihem rachamim, v'hofach alehem midas hadin l'midas harachamim. He actually stands from the chair of judgment and moves to the chair of mercy. Umismale aleihem rachamim, v'hofach alehem midas hadin l'midas rachamim, and he's filled with mercy and he switches from the characteristic of din to the characteristic of rachamim. Imasai, when does that take place? So that takes place in month number 7. So what does it mean that we are the ones who are Yodei Trua? We are the ones who know how to elicit mercy from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We are the ones that get that hopefully favorable judgment. Rather than being judged harshly, we get judged. We are able to ring in that call of mercy. Now, if a non-Jew would daven with us, meaning or does it maybe then impact or continue on to other people? I'm not sure. But there is, where does that leave the non-Jew? That's sort of what I wanted to go. I wasn't able to find very much on that. Right? Should a non-Jew really be coming to shul then and trying to either tap into our midas harachamim or tap into their own midas harachamim or paying attention over the course of the day? I'm not really sure. Don't really know. But there is a interesting netziv that discusses the issue of the tkios and how the tkios impact the relationship between the Jews and the non-Jews. So, just there is an interesting halacha. We mentioned this. This was the teaser that I gave between Mincha and Maariv tonight. We mentioned before that a person that a private individual doesn't daven musaf until 3 hours into the day on Rosh Hashanah. That's the halacha for Rosh Hashanah. And the same thing would be by Tekiyah Shofar. Okay. Are there any other distinctions? So I remember between if you're blowing shofar by yourself versus blowing shofar b'tzibur. So one difference is that in a tzibur, the minig is to blow 100 times. And with an individual, if you blow for an individual, blowing for yourself, so then one would only blow the shofar 30 kolos. That's the halacha. The 100 is a minig. I remember when I was in 11th grade, I was in Rabbi Yitzchak Cohn's shir, and he brought us down to get a bracha from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was still alive at that time, and he was still giving shir, actually, several days a week at YU. So we went down, and he gave a brief shir. I don't remember what the topic was. And then he said, does anybody have any questions about Rosh Hashanah? So I actually asked, this is my question. I said, why is it that for an individual, we only blow 30 kolos, we don't blow 100 kolos? And he said, That's a good question. I never thought of it before. Which, I don't know, I didn't think it was that good a question, but still wondering about that a little bit. Why is it the 30 versus 100? So perhaps this Netziv begins to answer the question, because there's an additional distinction as well. And that is when a person davening b'tzibur, so we blow the first 30 kolos before Shmona Esrei, and then we blow the next 30 kolos during Shmona Esrei, right? During the Chazar and Hashatz. If you use an art scroll sitter, as you go through your private Shmona Esrei, you'll notice there's three gray boxes along the way, giving instructions about, in some congregations, they blow shofar in the middle of the silent Shmona Esrei. From what I've been told, there's very few large shuls that have this minhag. It's very difficult to pull off in a large shul, because people are davening at different paces. I remember Rav Schefter mentioned that Rav Salvechik would instruct his shul. He had a small minyan in Boston, so he instructed that I'm going to daven Shmona Esrei loudly, and you could all like keep pace with me, and that's how we'll blow shofar even in the quiet Shmona Esrei. And the truth is, that is a halacha. The halacha is that on Rosh Hashanah, one is permitted to actually daven louder than they otherwise would. That the silent Shmona Esrei during the year, you're not supposed to daven loud enough that anybody else could hear you. On Rosh Hashanah, you are allowed to. Why is that? Because it's a practical reason. Because during the year, half the people are davening Shmona Esrei by heart, and they'll get confused if they hear somebody else. But on Rosh Hashanah, who knows all those psukim by heart? So everybody is davening out of a machzer, so you can actually daven Shmona Esrei out loud. So the Rav Salvechik said, I'm going to daven a little bit louder so that everybody can hear me, and everybody will be able to keep pace. Now, can an individual do that? Right. If I'm let's say a person is davening. So apparently, there's something to do with blowing tekios after each of the brachos. So let's say a person is davening by themselves at home and they have a shofar. Can they say, you know what? I'm going to do my tekios shofars during the silent Shmona Esrei. So the Gemara actually tells a story about one of the Amorayim that, I don't have it in front of me, but one of the Amorayim, the Gemara says, was about to begin Shmona Esrei, and he told the fellow, his shamish standing there, you know, when I give you the signal, blow shofar, because that means that I finished one of the brachos. So the Gemara comments that Rava was present for this discussion, and Rava said, ahem, we don't do that in the private Shmona Esrei. So there's actually a machlokas as to what does it mean we don't, meaning you don't have to or you should not. And the Aruch HaShulchan and Ashkenazi Achronim all paskin that you should not. Why should you not do it? Because in an individual Shmona Esrei, they suggest it might be considered a hefsek. It's appropriate if you're davening b'tzibur in a congregation, and not just if you're davening in a congregation in the loud Shmona Esrei, but possibly even in the quiet Shmona Esrei, meaning everybody is davening by themselves, but yet that's enough to have to call upon and blow shofar during that time. But if you're davening privately, it's prohibited. Right? If you're davening privately, it's going to be considered a hefsek. It's going to be considered an interruption. So why is that? Why would it be an interruption if you're davening privately, but lauded if you're davening in a congregation? So perhaps this Netziv begins to tell the answer. So the Netziv comments. Let's do the beginning. We'll skip a little bit and then look at the end. It says, V'adayin yish l'havim masha shina ha-kasuv bein parsha zu, d'chsiv zichron shrua, bein parshas d'musaf and d'chsiv yom shrua. So why is it that we say zichron shrua versus yom shrua? Could have been a topic for tonight's shir also, the idea of zichron shrua, the idea of having a Rosh Hashanah without blowing shrua for one of the days. It says, V'amadchil yish l'das trei dinim nidonim b'Rosh Hashanah. There's two types of judgments that are taking place on Rosh Hashanah. Echad kol echad, v'echad bifnei atzmo, alachayim uparnasa, k'desiv kicholki Yisrael hu, v'choku mezonev chasher yivuar o b'mikra nino didan. That every echad is kol echad v'echad bifnei atzmo. One of them is that everybody goes and davens by themselves for their parnasa, for their, you know, what they're asking for, right? Uvazeh hadin gam umasa olam b'chlal. And that actually includes everybody else. So the Netziv actually says it outright. Kedisa b'Rosh Hashanah, right? Ein li ela Yisrael umasa olam minayin tamalum mishpat l'elokei Yaakov. It quotes our Gemara from before. So we see that there is this idea, and he seems to be equating them, that every single person has their own thing that they're requesting. However, the Netziv comments then, Beis divyamim eyu yesh milchamas sarei umas ha'olam im klal Yisrael. The Chamoshin Yisbar le'el in Parshas Achrei, that, as he mentions elsewhere, that there's also a battle going on between the other nations of the world and Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba lishkon kavod b'Yisrael, u'mamlichim oso b'tfila malchios zichronos v'shofros v'vura gamzel l'holon. Later on. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming and residing and taking the plate and taking the side, so to speak, of the Jewish people, we hope, as we blow the shofrim of, as we blow the tekios and say the brachos of and blow the tekios of Malchios Sichronos v'shofros. Right? This idea is not the judgment of the individual person, but rather the judgment of Klal Yisrael as a whole. That we, as a whole, are the people that bring down judgment as a congregation, and perhaps that's why it is only appropriate to blow the shofar at that point as a congregation, as a kehila, because that is a kehila message, that is a congregational message. So, right, actually, it mentions that at the end. Let's skip a bunch of lines and get to the end. It's underlined. Umizeh tam mishuna mitzvah ha-shofar biyachad miyosa mitzvah rabim. That is why we have a distinction between the mitzvah of a shofar as an individual versus the mitzvah in public. The biyachad ain't ki ha-shofar betoch ha-tfila she'enu le-melchama el yis'or le-tshuva. Ma she'en ki ha-tzibur shehu le-melchama. Because for an individual, it's asking for tshuva, and for a congregation, it's asking for war here in a battle. Me'ata biyachad ein nafkin bein tkiel l'trua sharei ein kol shofar ela l'simlis ora mishena aval b'tzibur ha-shofar ba l'ora ha-tfila v'lazem moel b'yichud ha-trua. That's why he discusses that perhaps there's a difference in the tkios, even that maybe the way of blowing tkios that we do may not be necessary for an individual, but the tzibur it will be necessary, which is what he discussed in the middle. But what's the Netziv getting at? Again, that we have this distinction, that on one hand, individually, that we're going to have our individual tefillos. Non-Jews as well might have their individual requests or their individual judgments that will take place on that day. But there is also a Klal Yisrael judgment that's taking place. And that becomes, and that's a way that either we hope to at least either defeat, as the Netziv seems to be alluding to, or perhaps co-opt the messages, the things that are coming from the Umas HaOlam. So that is so I think there's two levels to answer the question, right? Is Rosh Hashanah a Jewish or a universal holiday, or a Jewish and a universal day of judgment? So it is both. It is a Jewish and universal day of judgment for individuals, and perhaps there are ways that we rig the system a little bit so that we perhaps might get a better judgment as individuals than others will get as individuals. But there is also a distinction between the judgment for the Jewish people as a whole that's going to take place on this day, and we could use that help as well. And that perhaps is the emphasis of davening b'tzibur, davening in a congregation over the course of Rosh Hashanah. Those that are not able to daven b'tzibur, so you may have heard the concept of trying to daven at the same time as the tzibur. So that is actually what we mentioned before. The halacha is that a person who is davening by themselves shouldn't daven before the end of the third hour, unless they could figure out a way to time it such that they're davening at the same time that the tzibur is davening. And there's perhaps an extra emphasis on attempting to align oneself with the congregation for this reason, that there is the individual requests as well as the national requests, and we hope that we'd be able to achieve both, that we'd be able to achieve individually, that we'd be able to achieve good judgments and achieve Shana Tova on an individual level and as a kehila, as a congregation, and as a nation. We're all facing challenges, and may this be a successful year when we say for all of us, and for all of Klal Yisrael, and let us say Amen, and a Shana Tova, a Ksiva Chasima Tova to you and to all of Klal Yisrael.